Committee meeting to order, please. And first order of business is approving three sets of minutes from the 11th, 24th, and 24th.
Hello.
Second.
Any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. We'll go to Randy Shepherd at Bonadio to review the audit. And I've been told to remind you, Randy, you're going to be able to get to share, but do not click off when you're done because you'll cancel the entire video.
All right. So let me open up the documents here. All right. I will share this document here. Does everyone see that?
Yep.
Okay, is it large enough?
Yeah.
Okay, great. Well, good morning, everybody. Thank you for allowing me to join remotely. We'll go through a couple documents today. This letter here, which is the required communications letter. Then we will go through just a highlight package. And I won't go through in detail the statements, but I can bring them up if there's any questions that people may have specific to those. So just going through this letter, we've gone through this in the past. There's not a lot of changes, but I'll just point out, you know, some of the new things for this year. In this first category, we talk about accounting policies and practices. There was one new accounting standard this year related to subscription-based information technology arrangements. We did implement that. The county did implement that. But the impacts were relatively small, so we did not have to book any kind of prior period adjustment. We basically ran them through the current year from that perspective. Everything else was as would be expected, no other new accounting standards in place. When we look at accounting estimates, what significant ones are included within the county's financial statements? Those are on this page here. And there's three of them that we call out, the first of which is the OPEB or other post-employment benefits liability and all the related deferred inflows and outflows associated with that. We always review that actuary report, make sure that those assumptions are appropriate. And there a lot of them are prescribed under the standard itself, so the actuaries are very aware of that. But everything made sense.
Join the meeting.
In terms of that. The second one relates to the net pension liability. So that's the portion of the county's share of the liability or asset related to the state retirement system. And again, we take a look at that. The state's actuary actually determines those. So the county, although it's in your financial statements and technically you're quote unquote responsible for those assumptions, there's really not much that you or I can do if those are off or don't make sense, because although the number might be large for you, you're just a small piece of the entire state system. But we do look at that. We have to assess it. But everything was in line there. And then lastly, we look at the allowance related to potentially uncollectible tax receivables, such as related to bankruptcies, tax certiories, et cetera. And just make sure that that's reasonable. And yours have stayed relatively consistent through the year. So we had no issues relative to that that estimate. When we look at disclosures that are sensitive, we call out two of them, note 7 and note 9, and those are related to the pension and the OPEB, and we call those sensitive because they're actuarially based. And if you shift those numbers or certain assumptions, that can really drastically change the liability and or asset, and we did see some significant changes this year to both of those numbers. We had no difficulties encountered in performing the audit because we do work for the board. It's important for us to identify that. The audit process went well, and we'll talk about that in the highlight package. We do have a schedule that lists out the adjustments that were made both by management as well as that we may have identified during the audit process. Those are on Exhibit A that we'll touch base with in a few moments. And we had no disagreements with management, you know, during the course of the engagement in terms of doing our procedures. Once we are done, we will get a representation letter that allows us to issue these in final form, which we'll do. And we're not aware of any opinion shopping through that during the audit process or getting a second opinion. And throughout the year, you know, which we encourage, we like, and we may hear from Jack, we may hear from Tammy, and in the future, maybe Stacy, relative to questions or things that come up. And our answers to those are not a condition of our retention. They're just part of that normal relationship that we have as auditor and client. So we can look at the adjustments here. And just as kind of an overall comment, you know, I put this together last year. Our firm was closed last week, so none of the staff were around. So I was preparing these materials. And so the category headings, like which accounts are under current year adjustments versus entries provided by county, may not be accurate. I'm going to work with Tammy and Stacy, and we're going to clean that up when we finalize. The adjustments themselves are accurate. The numbers are accurate. How they're categorized may not be. So I apologize in advance for that. That's why I usually let my staff do all the detail work on this stuff. But looking at the general fund, you know, we had an unadjusted or pre-audit number about 4 million and then adjusted to 5.6, and that's a positive change in fund balance. The biggest piece really is the workers' comp valuation adjustment. You know, nothing good or bad about that necessarily, just the timing of when it came in. So that was the biggest piece of that related to the adjustment. We accrued some interest related to T-bills, I believe, at the end of the year. And then there was also an adjustment, a positive adjustment related to tort claims and the accrual related to that. When we look at the custodial fund, there's a lot of little entries in there, or a lot of entries that kind of accumulate to this. Tammy and her team booked those, and that's just recording that on a gross basis here. So we lumped them all together. So the change in the custodial fund was basically an outflow of $418,000 to their net position. Solid waste, again, a positive adjustment here related to the tort claims, and that ran through a couple funds, obviously. So that the overall net position loss, negative net position, went down slightly as a result for that. In the self-insurance fund, there was about $500,000 change in net position pre-audit. And then there was an adjustment to the workers' comp valuation of about $550,000. So that changed or altered that net position to about $113,000. And then County Road, a couple adjustments there. The Eight Winds facility or the Eight Winds contract. So up until 2023, those funds you were holding related to that project were a liability to the county. So the interest earned on that was posted initially to interest income. We just had to move that over to actually increase the liability because at that time it was still being held on behalf of Eight Winds. I know that since year end that contract has changed and now you've forgiven their liability in exchange for that, all those funds. And so those funds now will come back into the county. But at 12/31, it just wasn't income yet. And then we had an adjustment related to moving where CHIPS revenue had been posted. It got posted to the county road fund as opposed to road machinery. So it didn't change the overall county's position, but just switched which fund it was in. And then down here, you can see here's the other side of that 150 going into the road machinery fund overall. And I believe there's a few more adjustments here in the capital fund. The biggest piece here related to recognizing ARPA revenue for those expenditures that were incurred that were ARPA related expenditures. So we recognized that out of unearned and recorded that there. Any questions overall about any of the entries in specifically that myself or Tammy or Stacy can help answer?
No, there's a lot of blank stares right now, Randy. You can keep going.
Okay. Okay. Let's see. Let me share the next thing now. Let's see. Stop the share. Let's see. Do a new share. You're going to share. There it is. There we go. So we should have the historical analysis showing now. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, great. All right. So just a quick page, you know, we kind of just try to summarize some key things for the year. When we talk about the audit report and the communications of matters related to internal control, we do anticipate issuing an unmodified or clean audit opinion on the financial statements. So as you know, that's the highest level of assurance. That's what you received in the past. And so we continue to anticipate that will occur. We did not identify any material weaknesses in internal control that are required to be reported. You know, we will have, and we're still kind of accumulating them. We've got a couple what we call housekeeping matters. So they're suggestions or matters that we identified that were not reportable. So they weren't a significant issue or a material weakness. And so we'll provide those to Tammy, and I'm sure she'll share them with the board as well. We're just still working on documenting that. But as I said, nothing that, you know, is concerning related to bringing to the board's attention. In terms of the audit process, the audit process continues to go well. While we will miss Tammy when she's gone, she's been there since I've been there, you know, looking forward to working more closely with Stacy. But definitely will miss Tammy harassing me throughout the audit process as it goes. And in terms of the overall audit itself, you know, the information was timely. We did have a few more audit adjustments this year. And when I say more audit adjustments, that doesn't necessarily mean as the audit firm, we identified more adjustments, but just collectively the adjustments that were recorded to the trial balance as part of the audit process, either from Tammy or Stacy or us, there was a little bit more this year. Part of that really had to do, I think, with the transition to Stacy. Stacy started, I think it was you know, February-ish. So Tammy wanted to give her the experience of getting some of those closing things booked. And so that butted up a lot closer to when we came out to the audit. So there are certain things being buttoned up or cleaned up as we were getting the audit process. So as a result, there was just more entries that were booked as part of that. You know, as I noted before, I didn't identify any material weaknesses. And so, you know, that would be an area if I was concerned significantly about the type of adjustments or the nature of the adjustments, you know, I would report some kind of control deficiency, but that's not the case. It was just more of a factual statement that as part of the process this year, we did have a few more things that were booked, you know, through the course of the audit engagement. And I know, Mr. Van Natten, you had some questions about that. Did I address that okay?
Yes, you did. Thank you.
Okay, sure. when we dive into, you know, some of the overall numbers, the government-wide financial statements, and these are, you know, what we consider the full accrual-based statements, so all your county assets, all your debt, et cetera, consolidated. So the net investment in capital assets, that increased by about $3.6 million. And what that line, and that's part of equity, for those of you who are not super familiar with where that sits, so that's part of the equity balance of the county's financial statements. What that does is takes all the gross values, less depreciation of your assets, and reduces that by any outstanding debt related to the acquisition of those assets. And that's called your net investment in capital assets. And the reason they categorize that is because they don't want you to think that you have those assets in a liquid form. You know, that portion of net position or that portion of equity is actually housed in those pieces. So, you know, because basically the net increase to capital assets was greater than depreciation, et cetera. So that was why that went up. OPEB, there was an actual decrease this year of $10.3 million. And when I talk about volatility of that number, you know, year over year, because of actuarial assumptions and changes, that's an example of that. You know, you had deferred inflows and outflows, which are kind of what are temporary differences, changed as well. The net impact was about 1.3 negative impact on net position. So there were some changes to the various assumptions as well as the actual plan experience. So they project interest or they project things like that. The experience was actually better. So those things come through the changes on an annual basis. The bigger impact really is the second bullet from a New York State perspective. The net pension asset actually went up from last year from $13 million to $32 million. And essentially what that means in simplest terms is the state's pension system is overfunded. And so your portion of that overfunding is picked up as an asset. Whereas if that was underfunded, you'd have a liability owing to the system. Now, some of those changes are not immediate and they're required to be put in these categories of deferred inflows. And so they'll amortize them out over a future period. So that's why that was 41 million. But the impact to the county of these changes was actually a $71.5 million positive impact. So when you look at, if you were to look at the financial statements on a government-wide basis, you had like an $85 million, I think, change in net position. Well, a big piece of it was just this non-cash related pension adjustment. Looking at OPEB, I'm sorry, ARPA, in total, you had about 12.3 million increase in capital grants and contributions, as well as operating. 8.2 million of that was recognition of ARPA funding that was deferred. So as you complete ARPA-related projects or recognize ARPA-related funding, that flows through that line. And you had also an increase, both in tax, sales tax and non-property tax, as well as real property tax. So combined about almost 6 million increase over 2022 in those categories. Any questions on the government-wide items? Okay. I can't see the
No.
blank stares from here. They're too
Yeah.
far
So I
away.
guess my only comment is regarding the net pension assets.
Yeah.
For the new people, to me, what that means is the state pension fund is doing very well. It's earning better than expected. So that results in us not having to make a large increase in our pension contribution in the next year's budget. And some of us have been through the swings of the market with the state pension, and we get hit with a number by the state pension system saying you need to fund this much in next year, and it's you can't do anything about it. You just have to allow for that number. This is a good sign for us because we won't have to see a large increase in next year's budget.
Good point. Yeah.
Yep.
Okay, Randy.
That's correct. And what I'll add though, too, what you will see, and you've talked about those big swings, most likely in the next year or two, the state will make some sort of adjustment to the assumptions because they don't ever really want to be in an asset position. They like to be as close to 100% as possible. So you'll probably see somewhat of a swing over the next couple of years where that will shift again and you'll be in a liability. But
Yep.
that's a great point that budgetarily there's a
Right.
positive to you, at least in the next couple of years. All right. So looking at the general fund, overall about a $5.6 million increase, so almost 5% over last year. The primary reasons, if you look at revenues, it was about $11.1 million increase over 23. And really, the biggest changes you had increases in use of money and property, so interest. So your use of taking those idle funds, getting them in investments, has made a huge difference for you. You had 4.3 million in state aid and 7.9 million in federal aid increases. And then the decreases were in the tax areas from that perspective. Looking at expenditures, increased about 12.9 in expenditures compared to last year. Economic assistance was the biggest driver of that, 7.4 million, and about 2 million each in general government and public safety. And that's going to be spread across all categories of expense, salaries, benefits, et cetera. From a budgetary perspective, your actual revenues were a little bit lower than your modified budget by 5.4, and your operating but your appropriations were actually less than budgeted by about 21.3. And I think Stacy had sent out some support for some of those questions, if I recall.
Yes, she did.
Okay. And in terms of a new accounting standards, next year, while the year we're in, there's one related to compensated absences. So they clarified and kind of cleaned up the definitions for what qualifies as a compensated absence. Since the initial standard was implemented years and years ago, there's been changes to the types of compensated absences or things that are being provided. So they found it necessary to kind of provide some clarity so that the application across all governments was the same. Not clear how much of an impact, if any, it'll have on the county yet, because you may be already accounting for things the way that they defined it in the standard. But we'll work with the team this year to kind of get to there. But it really is going to impact not necessarily your outflows, but really just your recognition of what obligations you may or may not have at year end.
So if I could, when you did our review here, did we find any places that were just severely over budgeted compared to the actual expenses? Was there any things we should be looking to address in that?
You're talking about in terms of that $21 million.
Correct.
Situation. Yeah. Let me just take a peek here. The biggest, so about $10 million of that savings was in economic assistance and opportunity. I don't have, pardon me, the detail of what that was, whether it was anticipated funding that or expenditures that didn't come through related to a grant, because you also were under revenue in federal aid by $12 million. So sometimes when you've got these programs that are grant funded or cost reimbursement based, if you don't have the expenditure, you're also not going to have the revenue. So nothing that really jumped out to me as overly concerning, but I guess I'll kind of defer a little bit to Tammy to see if there's anything else that she might have to add to that.
She's coming up to the mic. Hang on.
No, it mostly is. Social services, because we are very conservatively budget for expenses as well as revenue.
Is your mic turned on?
It's yep. Green.
Okay. I just wanted him to be able to hear you.
Yep, I hear you. I hear.
So it is mostly DSS. I mean, we budget kind of like bad case.
We budget conservatively, especially on Medicaid. We budget essentially at the cap, not knowing if the state is going to change, when we're budgeting the year prior, if the state eventually gets us, which they will, up to the statutory cap. We want to have that in there. Knock on wood, it hasn't come to fruition just yet, but budgeting conservatively, because DSS is your largest portion of your budget, will have larger dollar impacts than others if things fall in our favor.
And with salaries and fringes, we budget certain number of vacancies, and if we can't fill them, then we don't fill them, and so then that leaves some money on the table as well from both an expense and revenue perspective. So as Randy pointed out, within DSS, it typically tracks. If we've not spent all the budget, we haven't collected all the budget as well. So
sure. But regarding the DSS, I mean, that's not a one-for-one expenditure versus revenue, right?
No,
it's normally 60 cents on the dollar that we get from state, but that's not across the board. Right. There are some that it's 100%, but in general, we talk about it being reimbursed about 60%.
Okay. Any other questions? Carry on.
Okay. Very good. So now we'll take a look at some kind of trend analysis, I guess I'll call it, in terms of four-year comparison of the general, and this is focusing just on the general fund. And here's, as I mentioned before, since 2021, you've done a very good job of moving cash out of cash, right, and getting it working for you on the investment side of things. And so at the end of 2023, you've got almost $200 million in investments, and that's what's helping to drive that interest revenue up substantially, which is obviously a huge plus for you.
Mr. Malter would be proud.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He would.
Looking at new line over the past couple of years is opioid settlements, so those continue to come in. They're going down, obviously, because when they first were earned back in 2021, they're booked as revenue and receivable. As those are collected over their payment time frames, which are pretty much stated in those agreements, that continues to go down and gets recognized as cash, when that comes in. Looking at your liabilities, there was a large increase in due to other funds. I know that was the question that was asked, and I think Tammy and Stacy put together a nice analysis, identified what the biggest pieces of those were. So every time, even though there's a liability here in the general fund, that means each of the other funds have a receivable of some sort. So as on a countywide basis, there's no impact to that. Looking at fund balance, here you're about 128 million. So there's that increase of about 5.6 over last year. Everything's staying pretty consistent in terms of your assignments, your restricted, which is primarily your reserves, and your non-spendable, which is your inventory and your prepaids over there. Okay. And then when we look at the revenues and expenditures for the general fund, you can see a nice steady increase here in total revenues. Government aid, you know, is climbing. That's the biggest piece of that is going to be the ARPA money is being recognized as revenue. Your other revenues is where that interest is going to be sitting. And tax items actually are down compared to last year a little bit. Looking at the rest of your expenditures, relatively low debt service, which I'll point out in the next slide as well. And, you know, current expenditures climbing, but in terms of your excess of revenues over expenditures, you know, staying right around that 20 million mark. This year, you know, over the past 2 years, we've had the new standard related to leases and subscription-based IT. So that requires you to record them a little differently. So you actually, even though it's non-cash, you record like a proceed for the issuance of these leases, but you also record, you know, a liability related to the obligation you have. And those are paid out in the same cycle as they would have been normally. You had a few more transfers out to other funds related to capital projects, I would say primarily. And then there's your overall change in fund balance this year, about 5.6. Now, the last slide that we've got tries to compare a little bit of an analysis to the county as well as all counties in the state. There are some limitations to that report that we can get from the state, the first of which is it's always a year late. So we can't actually compare, say, your 23 to the state. So we always do that kind of a year later. So I'll include the 23 and the 22. The other thing to point out is there's a lot of information, you know, there's a lot of different type of counties in there. So as much as I compare you to other counties, I like to look at you as relates to consistency as well. And you can see overall from a state perspective, Steuben County has, I guess, a little bit less quote unquote reliance on sales and use taxes, you know, in the 34 compared to 37%. And then when you look down below, you've got a little bit higher reliance, let's say, on state and federal aid than the rest of the counties combined in the state. So your local sources represent about 67%, whereas your state and federal is 33%. And I just see I've got some math issues here. I'll figure out what's going on there. Again, I put this together, so I'm sure I made a mistake, but I'll fix that as we finalize. And this is, you know, I really enjoy looking at this piece of this too. And as well, you should, when you look at your spending, you know, your 85 and now 90% of your spending is on current operations. Your capital outlays are increased a little bit this year. But the biggest thing here, your debt service, you have such a very low debt service load compared to the rest of the counties. And really, you always have been. You've been able to finance a lot of your purchases locally as opposed to relying on debt. So that continues to stay the same. And again, I'll fix this 90% when I put this in final form as well. And then lastly, looking by function, and this is one of the limitations. Unfortunately, this is all governments. It's not just counties. I can't get that level of detail that I had before. So education is very skewed because this includes all your school districts and the community colleges and things like that. So it's a little more difficult to kind of compare that, but I keep it in there anyway. As it relates to looking at the county, and I'm seeing that these numbers did not change year over year. I've got to think about, I don't know which one of these are right now. I don't know if this is last year's numbers or this year, so I greatly apologize for that, but I will fix that for the final version overall. But from what I remembered, you generally stay pretty consistent year over year in these percentages. And it shifts primarily because of decisions made by you, right? Whether you've had a little additional more spending in transportation or social services or where it goes, it's all budget driven for the county. So that covers the two main documents I wanted to review today. Is there any other questions or anything in the financial statements themselves that anyone wanted me to cover?
I think at this point we're good.
Okay. So I should be able to stop the screen sharing, right? That won't cancel the meeting, I don't think, will it?
That's above my pay grade, Randy. She's shaking her head yes.
All right. So we'll stop the share. All right. Very good.
Okay. She said you're good.
All right. So if you don't need me, I can stick around if you need, or otherwise I'll exit stage left and leave it up to you.
No, I think we're good. Thank you very much. And thanks for working with our team. We're going to be losing Tammy at some point, so yep. I'm sure you're going to appreciate all the years you worked with her as well as we did, but we all get older, right?
Yeah, I tried to get her to wait until I retired, but she refused.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so.
Thanks, Randy.
Thank you very much, Randy. Thanks, have everyone. A good day.
Take care.
All right, so do we need to accept those? We normally do. Okay. Is there a motion to accept the DOR audit?
Second.
No questions? Yes.
We need to accept it with those few minor changes or accept it as is.
Yeah, the changes are more review reporting, so they don't really affect the opinion.
Okay.
It's just he's showing us data and the data wasn't updated on that page. So
I'm okay with that.
Yep. Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Carried. Thank you. All right. Department requests. We have a ton of these.
Yeah.
Public defender. We heard this at public safety. Does anybody still need to hear the explanation from Mr. Sorrow?
And I'll make
second.
Is there a second? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carried. Postal Services, ARPA grant funds.
Jesus.
Good morning. I'm here to accept approval to move forward and accept additional ARPA funding and move forward with the case management software.
And this was for $72,000.
$72,000.
Any questions?
Move it.
Second.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Thank you.
Thank you. Public health. We have a grant. $1,000 grant.
Yes. And we would recommend accept it, Sarah Darling.
Yeah. So, any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Oh, yeah, and it's for sunscreen, so I'm a good example of that. Accept the money for sunscreen.
Emergency services.
Good morning. Two items. The first one is adjustment to the EMS budget, capital budget, to add 8 iPads. These are for the pre-hospital care reports that the EMS, EMTs and paramedics are required to complete for their calls. So request to add those to our capital budget for $11,500. And dovetailing with that is the request to move the funds for it from fringe benefits to minor equipment.
Motion, Norton.
Second, Nichols.
Is this just to upgrade current equipment? Is that what we're doing?
We don't currently have
it. You don't have brand new. Okay.
We're actually using public health right now. So.
Any other questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
The second one is a request to move $5,000 from fringe benefits unspecified to the major equipment. This is to cover the cost that was above and beyond what we anticipated for the purchase of the vehicle. that was budgeted for this year.
Your motion?
Second.
Any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ken. Eric.
First item, buildings and grounds, requesting authorization to spend $265,000 out of our roof capital project for maintenance and repairs on our county office building.
So moved.
Eric, is that the main building?
The main building, yes, Jeff. It's going to get a coating, repair some flashing, and then a coating to protect the base sheet.
And this is being done because of the 30-year warranty we have. We have to maintain it.
Correct. This is part of our responsibility within as a housekeeper and owner in the owner's manual to maintain our 30-year warranty.
Yep.
It's one of those things.
Any other questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Next item, Public Works, amend major equipment list to add $7,500 for an AC recharging machine for the vehicles and our fleet vehicles. This machine will recharge and put the appropriate gas to allow our cars to have air condition.
Motion, Horton.
Second, Nichols.
Is this AC machine, so we don't have the capability to do this right now, or hiring someone to do it right now?
Both. So they've also changed the gas that's used in some of the newer vehicles, so we don't have that current machine, as well as the convenience of not having to take it over to Simmons and Rockwell or another location. We can do it at our own accord. So yes, to your question.
Any other questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Next item, requesting authorization to transfer $8,315,965 from County Road Fund unclassified revenue to the County Road Fund provisions for capital project expenses.
Motion, Horton.
Second.
And this is the eight wins?
Yes, the next item. Yep, so this is the 8.1 projects we're going to get done this year.
Any questions on this one? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
So to what Scott was saying, to tie to this, we're requesting authorization now to transfer that $8,315,965 from County Road Fund provisions from capital project expense to new capital project entitled 8.1 road repairs.
Motion. Second.
Any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Okay. Next item, requesting authorization to transfer $1,030,000 from road improvement unassigned to specific road projects.
Nichols, yep.
I'm on board. Horton, second.
Any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Okay, this next request is a kind of a two-part request as well. So we're requesting authorization to create a new capital project titled DPW shop paving project. We're looking to transfer $100,000 from the fund D provisions from the project interfund revenue for the newly created capital project entitled DPW shop paving.
Hello.
Second.
Questions?
Yeah. So to clarify, you have highway shop paving on here. It says DPW, not highway shop paving.
Yeah. We don't want to isolate it to one use. We started this capital project. My intent is to be able to potentially fund a little bit, as all these outlying shops are going to need pavement or need maintenance pavement in the future. So I don't want to isolate it to just one aspect.
All right. That's
fine. And there's a bridge shop, so that's not truly a highway shop. So they do the bridge stuff there, and that's going to need some attention at some point as well.
All right.
Anything else? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
That's all I have. Thank you.
So that was 5 and 6 all in one. Okay.
Whatever you say.
Because there are two separate. You got it.
Yep.
You're good. Okay. Fine.
But on a flat, you can't vote.
We're good. Thank you, Eric. Sheriff's Office. Bill, I'm sorry. I know I promised you number one position, but I just looked back and saw you and thought, oh, hell, I forgot. But we'll catch you. We'll get you.
Sorry.
He had that long look like I had taken away his promise.
Good morning. Item number one is accept DCGS grant of $601,102 for countywide records management system.
Motion, Horton.
Second. Second.
Any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Okay. Item number two is approved budget adjustment. You have it as a capital project. We're showing it as a major equipment to minor equipment. I'm not sure which way it's supposed to go. It was the project for the scanner.
Block minor. Yes. On the actual transfer, it's showing major to minor.
Yeah. I know Jack said capital last time, but I'm not sure which way. But either way, we're trying to move 20 grand from one to another.
Is there a motion?
We find out which one's supposed to come.
He'll probably look it up in about 20 seconds.
Probably should be not a major, but I'll have it. That was last regular meeting, right?
Yeah, it's in major to minor.
Major to minor. Okay. I'll second then.
Any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Thank you. Third thing is to accept a $6,000 donation from the Sheriff's Foundation for training. This is the supervisory training for all sergeants and lieutenants.
Motion, Horton.
Second, Sue.
Any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Thank you. The next one is approve a $16,327 transfer payment to Hornell Police Department for the lateral transfer of Deputy Donahue.
So move.
Second.
Any questions?
So basically this, the individual is trained now to become a county.
So what this is there's a general municipal law that says, if you take a transfer from another agency other than a state agency within 3 years of them being paid to attend an academy, that the receiving agency is responsible for a percentage of the cost of that training.
Okay.
Any other questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
And the final one is the transfer of $19,608.03 from salary wages to maintenance contracts for the Tyler Technology soft code maintenance cost for the since 2021. And I think I owe our finance friends an apology. I was originally told that they went to finance and never made it to us. Further inspection, it would appear that they just never sent it to us.
Oh.
So sorry for blaspheming you, Tammy. Thank you.
Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
They never invoiced us at all. No. No. Yep. Okay.
Got to be a statute of limitations on invoicing.
Right? Tell them we'll get back to them in 5 years.
Oh, is it? Sheriff, I should have asked the question sooner, but there was no late fees on.
No late fees on.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Elections. We should be able to burn through these quickly.
So move.
For all of them?
I'd make a motion to vote for 1 through 6 all in one vote. Do that.
Okay, Gary. Well, you made it, Gary. Seconds.
Yeah.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? We are good.
There you go.
Community services.
Good morning. Our first item is to request approval to allocate opioid funds in the amount of $28,625 to the Bridges of Hope Center for supplies once the renovations are done in the next couple of months. They're going to need the supplies to get the clinic fully running, to get people where they need to go for services and get them engaged with looking for opportunities for employment.
Okay. Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Question.
So are the supplies and everything, they're actually going to be funded by the county? They're not actually donated?
No. So the way we would structure, because some of the things would be de minimis, and so that we don't have to structure, it would be a payment to them, and then they would own.
They would buy.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Any other questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
A second item is to request approval to allocate opioid funds in the amount of $34,783.19 to ProAction of Steuben and Yates County for the final quarter of the case manager working at the Bridges to Hope Center. This would pay for the salary for the last quarter of the year for that person to continue to service the clients that are attending the center.
Motion.
Second.
What are
make it? I asked if there was sure.
One. Oh, I'll make the motion. You mentioned salary, but I see other items listed here.
Right. It's everything that would fund that position. So it's the telephone they use, the transportation costs, and then there's like some wrap funds they use to serve help clients get like maybe suits or things for job interviews, that type of thing. So it's entire cost of the position.
So are we paying for this? Is the person that'll be in the Bridge of Hope?
They're already there. Right? They've been working
they're,
there.
They're now. In that. So we just made a motion second to provide a bunch of equipment. Is Bridges of Hope not paying the regular, you know, services and stuff for the phone and all that? Or
this position is funded through ProAction. So everything this person, all the equipment they use is ProAction's equipment.
Mm-hmm.
So they're paying for this person to be there. And that funding is no longer the state's stopped.
So this is to ProAction and not to Bridges of Hope.
Right. Then.
Even though they're operating out of Bridges.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Anything else? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
And my last item is approval to accept grant money in the amount of $20,000. From Better for Fit, the New York State Better for Families program, to support a peer in our court system, working in the family court system, to help clients get the services that they need and to further support their recovery.
Motion, Horton.
Second, Lou.
Any questions?
Is this something new?
This, we've had a peer that works with the courts, but not full-time. This would be new. They would be over there most of the week or half of the week working with the clients with the court system. Yeah, then the grant's new to us.
I thought that's what we did before. So
we had a case manager working in the court system.
Yeah.
And we've had peers involved, but not to this extent.
Okay.
Yeah. This is a brand new grant.
Any other questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lynn. Finance.
Dipping him again.
Oh, yeah. We do Bill first. Sorry. He's been patient.
So, good morning, and I apologize for the late addition here. Excuse me. But the Human Services Committee allocated the new sports funding, all of our youth development funds last week. But it was it occurred to someone that we didn't actually allocate or accept the new funds, the new sports funds. So I very crudely this morning threw together a spreadsheet. I think I gave everyone a copy. I hope you have one. You're asking you to accept the middle column, which is the additional sports funding of $90,023. This happens because when you do the budget back in the fall, we didn't know what the allocation was going to be. So we've had sort of a guesstimate there for many years. And once we finally get that number and make the allocations, then that's when we finalize the number specifically. And so that's what we're doing here. And obviously the big increase of the sports funding over the last year or two. Going forward, actually, this is going to be better. I do believe when we do the budget this fall for 25, I think we are going to have the numbers and we'll have a much better guess and we won't have to go through this. So
accept the additional funding.
I'll second it.
Any questions?
Was this budgeted or
no? The first column, the 87,314, is in the budget. The additional sports funding is not, which is why we have to go through this.
So where would we be drawing that from then?
It's new grants.
It's grants.
This is to accept this $90,000 from the state.
Right. So makes sense.
These are new programs they didn't expect and they got announced.
So you're, it'll be a wash. You're essentially accepting new revenue in the
program. That's fine.
Right.
Yeah. I didn't know there was a grant attached to it. So
yeah. Another way to put it is you said you could spend the money. Now we need to bring it in.
All right.
Any other questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Thank you very much for the putting
me up. All right, Stacy.
Good morning. The standard monthly reports for equipment and capital project purchase orders, budget transfers and amendments, and the statement of corrections under $2,500 have been submitted. Are there any questions?
I didn't have any.
Anybody?
Nope.
Okay. When will we get the departmental ones for overtime, temporary hire, that type of thing that I like? Yeah. They like quarterly? Is that like quarterly? Okay.
August. Yep. They'll be at next month.
Yeah, we'll wait until August closes.
Okay. Thank you. Any other questions? No?
Yeah.
Nothing?
Do you need a motion for that? Accept them?
No.
Okay.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
We are adjourned. Thank you.